This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Well, so great to have Peter Schiff with us today. Peter is the president of Euro-Pacific Capital, much better known as the great spokesman on American television and really American public life for Austrian economics, especially during this crisis. The man who has been telling the truth for so many years, who was not taken seriously enough in the past. Now, I hope they're taking him seriously. But Peter, one thing I wanted to talk to you about today, we're having deflation, or at least we're having deflation hysteria. If we have deflation, isn't that really good for the consumer and for the saver? Aren't we seeing, in effect, the market wiping out the malinvestments of the boom, no matter what Washington, D.C. tries to do?
Sure. I mean, whenever you have an inflationary boom, it's going to be followed by a deflationary bust. But the problem is the governments don't like deflation. You know, the government is the world's biggest debtor. Obviously, if money becomes more valuable, it makes its debts harder to repay. But our whole economy, you know, is based on overvalued assets and consumer spending, and our tax system, you know, the government is going to collect much lower tax revenues in deflation than it would during inflation. So the government doesn't want this deflation to occur. It's going to occur despite what the government wants, but it's going to be a deflation, of course, in terms of real money, which is gold. So prices are going to continue to fall for assets and consumer goods when priced in legitimate money, which is gold. But when assets are priced in the fiat currency that we use, dollars, the government is going to create so much money, and it is creating so much money, that it'll be hard to see the falling prices because they're actually going to be rising in terms of dollars. I think initially asset prices will continue to fall relative to goods prices. So you'll still see that. You'll see the price of a house or the value of a stock coming down more than a gallon of gas or a bushel of wheat or certainly an ounce of gold. But at some point, it'll probably turn into runaway inflation where even asset prices eventually stop falling in nominal terms and begin to rise. But I think when that happens, asset prices will fall even faster relative to goods prices or relative to the price of gold.
But right now, are they pushing on a string and the famous thing that was said about the 1930s in the Federal Reserve? I mean, aren't banks on the margin holding money in reserves and not lending it? And aren't businessmen on the margin not borrowing?
Well, they can't lend it because the banks are losing money. I mean, the money that the government is creating and giving to banks, the banks are simply using that to repair their bad balance sheets. This money is necessary to keep them solvent. They can't make new loans because they don't have the capital. You know, they've already lost so much money on the loans they made in the past.
So how exactly does the government engineer the inflation? Unless and until there's a recovery, then, of course, all these loans are going to be made.
Well, they're probably going to end up, instead of giving the money to the banks, they're probably going to try to have more ways to give the money directly to American citizens so that they can spend it. But, you know, and the politicians think that economic growth is a consequence of spending, which it's not. It's economic growth that makes spending possible. But if the government is simply going to print money and give it to Americans so they can go to the mall, you're just going to see prices go through the roof. And so we're going to spend a lot more money, but we're not going to buy a lot more stuff. We're just going to pay more money for things that we used to buy.
I can remember joking when I read Bernanke's famous anti-deflation and printing press speech when he became head of the Federal Reserve. I thought, I wonder if he's going to send at some point in a crisis every American a $10,000 check.
Well, who knows? I mean, that might be coming. You know, I mean, you hear these people talking about, you know, that the housing, and they say, look, we need houses to be affordable. Yes, well, the way houses are affordable is to allow the price to come down. But everything the government is doing is they're trying to stop home prices from falling. Now, I heard somebody on television the other day saying that, well, since the government controls Fannie and Freddie, why not just reduce interest rates so that people can afford to buy homes? Well, why not just let the prices fall? And then they won't have to borrow so much money. And then the interest rates won't be a problem because there won't be as big a mortgage. But, you know, just like, and the same thing with, you know, like college tuitions. The government is saying that we need to keep the credit flowing so people can afford to borrow money and send their kids to college. Well, how about not let the credit flow, let college tuitions come down so that families can actually afford to pay it without going into debt?
Well, of course, one thing we know, if we take, for example, the college sector, that given the massive subsidization that's taken place since the GI Bill and it's gotten worse and worse, that there are too many colleges and universities, and they have too many students, and they have too many faculty. So don't they have to shrink? And this, of course, would be a good thing.
Of course. I mean, most of the kids that go to school today, they get a liberal arts degree. They really don't learn any skills that helps them in the labor market. I mean, they simply acquire a diploma because everybody now kind of uses a college diploma as a screening mechanism for employment. But I don't see any real benefit to the individual from a college diploma. I mean, it's for certain industries, yeah, certain things that they could learn. But in most cases, I think people would be just as well prepared for the workforce if they just went out of high school and got a job. But, you know, we don't need to have government. I mean, the reason that college is so expensive is because government subsidizes it. The same thing with education, I mean, with healthcare. Anytime the government subsidizes an industry, it gets very expensive. And the beneficiaries of the subsidy are not the people who have to pay, but it's the establishment that's providing the service. So it's the educational establishment, it's the healthcare industry. They benefit from all these cheap loans, not the people who are loaded up with debt in order to buy the products.
Well, Peter, they're obviously getting frustrated. All these bailouts, the trillions of dollars of bailouts aren't doing what they hoped would do and reignite inflation and make everything go up again and bring back what they see as the good old days. What's your prediction as to what they're going to try next?
Well, the good old days were not good. I mean, see, people are still confusing the problems with the consequences. I mean, what is happening now? The collapse of our economy, the bankruptcy and the financials, the falling home prices, the stock market, people losing their jobs, Americans not spending. This is the consequence of the problem. The problem was that for years, we borrowed money and spent it. We borrowed trillions of dollars from the rest of the world, and we blew the money on consumer goods. We confused consumption with economic growth. We confused asset price appreciation with legitimate wealth creation. So while our stocks and bonds were going up in price, we ignored the fact that our industrial base was disintegrating beneath our feet, that our infrastructure was being allowed to decay, that the whole time we thought we were getting wealthier, we were really getting poorer. And we were just spending ourselves into bankruptcy. And now that the bills are coming due and we can't pay the money back, this whole phony economy is toppling down around us. You know, the whole service sector economy that we thought was so great was just a mirage. It only could exist so long as the world would subsidize it, so long as they would lend us money that we couldn't pay back. But that's coming to an end. And, you know, what the politicians don't understand is that they need to allow the market to work. They need to allow this service sector economy to crumble, and they need to allow asset prices to fall and people to lose their jobs and companies to go bankrupt, because we need to reallocate these resources in a more productive fashion. Land, labor, and capital need to be allocated so that we can start producing stuff again, and Americans have to start saving money, which means we need higher interest rates, not lower interest rates, which means we need this recession desperately. But in trying to fight it off, you know, they're just going to create a much bigger problem. What they're going to end up doing is create a currency crisis. They're going to destroy the value of our money, and it's going to be much worse than the recession that we would have had if they stayed out of the way, which, of course, you know, if the government would have stayed out of the way in 2001 and 2002 and allowed the malinvestments from the NASDAQ bubble, which they also inflated, to be corrected, we would have had a much deeper recession in 01, 02, but we would not be in nearly the trouble we're in today.
And, Peter, aren't they just replaying the Hoover-Roosevelt playbook? I mean, aren't they doing exactly what those guys did?
Yeah, you know, and not only are they replaying it, but they don't think they are. I mean, the conventional wisdom is that the reason we had a depression was because Hoover didn't interfere in the market, that he foolishly let capitalism work, and that's why we had a depression, and that Roosevelt rode to the rescue with big government programs, and he got us out of it. When the reality of it was that if Hoover had allowed the market to function, there never would have been a Great Depression. There would have been a severe contraction, but it would have been over in a year or two, and we would have been recovering. Instead, Hoover ignored the good advice of the people who told him to let the markets work. Instead, he tried every gimmick under the sun to pump things back up, and he made things worse. And then when Roosevelt came in, he simply continued those policies only on a grander scale and exacerbated the Depression and made it last for the entire decade of the 1930s. You know, we would have got out of the Depression much quicker had it not been for what the New Deal did. I mean, we got out of the Depression despite what Roosevelt did, not because of what he did.
And, of course, it'll be the same with Bush and Obama and Bernanke and Greenspan and the whole bunch of them.
Yeah, look, we're repeating the same mistakes. The problem is the country can't afford it this time. We can't afford the New Deal that Obama wants to give us, because when Hoover came in, when Hoover left office, rather, the whole federal budget was about $4 billion. Roosevelt doubled the government, but when he doubled it, it went from $4 billion to $8 billion. I mean, we've got a $3 trillion budget now. I mean, the government is doing everything already. We have massive taxes and regulations that didn't exist back then. We have this whole welfare state, people on Social Security. Nobody was on these government payrolls back then. And, of course, back then we had a solid industrial economy. We didn't have this phony service sector economy. We didn't have these huge trade and current account deficits that we have now. We had a much higher savings rate, and we were still on a gold standard. I mean, there was some discipline. There's none anymore. I mean, we can just the Fed can print and print and print, and that's exactly what Bernanke said. In fact, Bernanke is convinced that the reason we had a depression is because the Fed didn't print enough money. And if they just printed enough money, that all that would have been avoided. So he doesn't think there's a problem that he can't solve with his printing press.
But, of course, they can't solve it. They're making it worse. What do you think lies ahead for us?
Look, I think it's going to be a disaster. I think the government is going to continue to misdiagnose this problem. They're going to continue to conclude that the reason their stimulus packages aren't working is because the doses are too small. They're going to keep upping the ante on this stuff. They're going to keep spending money and trying all kinds of Keynesian remedies, and it's going to keep getting worse and worse. And eventually the dollar is going to fall through the floor. Consumer prices are going to head up into the stratosphere. And at some point along the way, the government is going to again start attacking the symptoms of inflation rather than the cause. They're going to start imposing price controls on energy, on food products. The result of that is going to be shortages, blackouts, brownouts, long lines, public civil unrest, looting, higher crime. I think eventually the government is going to impose capital controls. I think they're going to make it very difficult or expensive for Americans to move their money offshore, to buy foreign currencies, to buy precious metals. The government is going to continue to attack the symptoms. Ultimately, you know, we could see a new wave of emigration as younger Americans try to leave the country in order to take advantage of better opportunities abroad. And then maybe the government will start cracking down on that and trying to force people to stay in the country so they can keep taxing them.
And, of course, they already say that even if you want to leave the country and give up your citizenship, they claim the right to tax you for an additional 10 years.
Yeah, and they've also made it more expensive just recently. The government enacted a bill that says if you give up your citizenship, that they will tax as ordinary income the appreciated value of all your assets on the date that you leave. So if you have a business or you own a stock portfolio, or anything that's gone up in value, they're going to tax it as the price of leaving the country. And you know, when the governments try to make it more and more expensive to leave the country, it's usually for a reason. And when people want to leave, the government should reexamine why wealthy people want to get out of here. Instead of figuring out how to punish them when they do, maybe we should change the policies that are forcing the most successful Americans to want to get out. But the important thing that people have to understand is that free markets work, and that the problem is when government interferes in the market and distorts it. You know, everybody points to what happened, let's say, in the housing market as some kind of failure of capitalism, that there wasn't enough regulation. Well, but that couldn't be more wrong. In fact, if you look at the brokerage industry, the banking industry and brokerage, they are the most highly regulated industries probably in the country. Yet they're all bankrupt. It wasn't because there wasn't enough regulation. In fact, the free markets regulate themselves. You know, everybody is greedy, right? But everybody is afraid of losing. There's always risk, and there's a trade-off. And in the free market, the risk of loss always counterbalances the greed for profit, and they check each other. But what happens is the government enters in the equation and tries to remove the element of risk. They create a moral hazard, whether it's by Freddie and Fannie guaranteeing mortgages. And now loans are going to be made that in the free market wouldn't be made because the borrower isn't creditworthy. But when the government steps in and guarantees the loan, all of a sudden there's no reason to worry about the risk of loss. You know, and when the Federal Reserve makes borrowing money very inexpensive, borrowing is cheap, so to finance the speculation on leverage is a lot cheaper, and so it encourages more of it. And so governments come in, and they remove the barriers that would exist in a free market. And then there's all these problems that get created, and now the government is able to blame the free market. They're able to say, well, there wasn't enough regulation, which is nonsense. Now, sure, there should have been more regulation on Freddie and Fannie because there was no market regulation of them because they had the government guarantee. But, of course, had they never created Freddie and Fannie, then there would have been nothing to regulate. If they just allowed interest rates to be set in a free market, if creditors had to worry about the borrower's ability to repay the loan, then interest rates would have been higher, down payments would have been higher, loan-to-income ratios would have been lower, and we never could have inflated the housing bubble.
Peter Schiff, thanks so much for being the voice of truth that you are, and thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Sure, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.